Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, today featuring her sister, best-selling author, speaker, and holistic physical therapist, Sally Morgan. Are you looking for a deeper connection with your animals, exploring options in alternative healing modalities, searching for training options that you feel good about? Listen now to Sally as she interviews the top experts that answer your questions to help keep your pets naturally healthy.
Hello, you're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm Sally Morgan, Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, a holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and your host today. You can hear this show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. Today I'm here with my guest, Dr. Alan Schoen, and I have known Alan for probably 30 years, and I am happy to say he was one of the first vets to do acupuncture with my horse. He received his DVM from Cornell in 1978, and he also has degrees in neurophysiology and animal behavior from the University of Illinois, which is, of course, Dr. Judy Morgan's prior college. And in 2016, Dr. Schoen was recognized as one of the 15 most influential veterinarians for his contributions to the advancements in veterinary medicine. And in 2010, he received the Lifetime Achievement Award for his contributions in acupuncture from the American Academy of Veterinary Acupuncture. He has been pioneering in integrative veterinary medicine for 38 years, and he also offers mind-body medicine wellness retreats globally for over 18 years. He established the Department of Acupuncture at the Animal Medical Center in New York City in 1982. And he is a faculty member at the Qi Institute for Traditional Chinese Medicine. He is certified in veterinary acupuncture from 1982 and veterinary chiropractic since 1990, so you can see he's really an expert in this field. He is a pioneer who has dedicated his entire professional career to the advancement of complementary and alternative veterinary medicine. He is the founder and director of the Center for Integrative Animal Health, which is a division of Global Communications for Conservation, and he has written many textbooks on complementary and alternative veterinary medicine, and he has taught many, many courses in complementary and veterinary medicine. One of his early books was Kindred Spirits, How the Remarkable Bond Between Humans and Animals Can Change the Way We Live, and he has another book called Love, Miracles, and Animal Healing, which you might notice sounds like our mutual friend's books by Dr. Bernie Siegel. And his most recent book is The Compassionate Equestrian, which came out in 2015. He has done many, many other brilliant things in the field of veterinary medicine. And over the years of his practice, he has developed new approaches for conditions such as cancer, arthritis, liver disease, degenerative conditions, and others. And you may remember him from The Truth About Pet Cancer. Dr. Schoen, it is a pleasure to welcome you today.
Oh, thank you so much, Sally. It's a joy to be here with you. And it's nice for you to, we were reminiscing about all the different times that we've met and talked and connected over horses and dogs and everything.
So many years, and we've spent so much time together with Linda Tallington because I lived out in Berkshire County for a long time, right near where your practice was in Connecticut, and we had many mutual clients, so it's really just a wonderful thing. So tell me, Alan, what led you to your career in veterinary medicine, and when did you realize that your approach might be a little out of the ordinary?
Well, that's a great question that, you know, it depends how far back you want to go. I'll start with, you know, I wrote a letter to my mother when I was 6 years old saying, I'm going to be an animal doctor helping animals that couldn't be helped any other way. And I actually had no idea what that meant.
Wow, what a premonition.
yeah. And then I was always interested in more natural approaches. And then while I was in veterinary school at Cornell, it was, you know, just acupuncture was just starting to come out of China with animals. And one of the equine surgeons there had just returned from China and learning acupuncture. And but at that point, everyone scorned that at Cornell and everywhere. And but he took me on as a intern, as a student with him, to study it with him at Cornell. But unfortunately, he ended up passing away, so I didn't have that opportunity. But then even after, right outside of vet school, my passion, I loved helping. I was in practice up in New Hampshire treating all creatures great and small, and I loved helping all the animals, but I found that my passion was looking at what else I could do to help the animals that didn't respond to Western medicine. And that's, I guess, where my path from there continued. Was I said, Western medicine's great. I'm so grateful for the foundation I got in that at Cornell and stuff, but that my passion was, what else can we do when Western medicine doesn't work? You know, and then in 1981, my first teacher of acupuncture, Dr. Sheldon Altman, was giving a weekend workshop in New York, and I saw on acupuncture, and I went, oh my gosh, you know, I would love to go. So the veterinarian I was working with let me go. And an hour into that lecture, that little inner voice that sometimes will shout past all of our resistance said, this is your journey, you know? And so at that point, there were only maybe 30, 40 veterinarians in all of North America who were doing acupuncture, and a lot of them didn't necessarily have the best reputations in Western
medicine. I'm surprised there were that many at that point, really.
Yeah, there were hardly any, and I was the first one to start explaining it based on where my master's degree was in neurophysiology and animal behavior. I was the first one that was able to start explaining it based on Western medicine. And then I was, I went and took training at Downstate Medical School, Human Medical School, in the evenings. They were, on weekends, they were having a physician from, who is fifth generation acupuncturist from China, and he also had his MD, as well as a PhD in neurophysiology, and he started teaching scientific acupuncture on the weekends and evenings to physicians. And I contacted him, and I said, hey, I'm a veterinarian, could I join? He went, oh, yeah, there's so few of us. Yeah, come and join us. And so then I was able to start, again, integrating the scientific basis of it and treating animals, and they were getting better. And then the reputation started spreading. And then Animal Medical Center, which was the largest animal hospital in the world and the most prestigious in the world at the time, called me and said, hey, we hear that you're helping a lot of animals with acupuncture. Would you like to come down to the city and give us a talk? And, you know, I was just this idealistic veterinarian saying, this is great. There's a technique that's helping the animals that don't respond to Western medicine. So I went there and gave them the first real lecture I ever gave on it. And the head of neurosurgery said, oh, you know, like, it's nice to meet you, but I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you're not here. You know, and the skepticism was quite strong, but the head of Animal Medical Center at the time was actually quite a visionary and very forward-thinking. His name was Dr. Bill Kay, and then also the head of orthopedic surgery at the time, Dr. Martin DeAngelis, was at the end of the lectures. They said, this is the first time it's been explained based on science, and we'd like to send Dr. DeAngelis up to hang out with you for a few days and see if what you're saying is for real. And so I said, oh, that's great. You know, just, again, this idealistic attitude. And he came and spent an afternoon with me, and he said, you know, I don't need to hang out for 3 days. You're helping all the animals that we'd euthanize. You need to be down here. And next thing you know, we had a Department of Acupuncture as the first one outside of China for animals. So that's a quick rendition going through that journey, you know.
And how do you think, I mean, it sounds like you just happened to run into a lot of other veterinarians and doctors who were doing acupuncture. Were you naturally drawn to that as opposed to chiropractic or some of the other, like, hands-on healing type modalities, or did you explore those too early on?
Well, I explored them too. I took training in Reiki healing and things like that. But, you know, what I found was, well, acupuncture was my first window to an awareness that there was something beyond drugs and surgery, you know. And so that was really my first. Then, you know, the practice I was practicing in up in New Hampshire, it was the largest veterinary practice in New Hampshire at the time, and the oldest veterinarian in the practice was in his 70s, and he was the first veterinarian to ever use penicillin on a cow.
Wow.
And, yeah, so that dates him, you know. And when I was there, the younger vets in the practice said, oh, we want you to hang out with him because he's, you know, in his 70s and he probably needs some help, you know, delivering calves and treating colics and horses and stuff. And so I got to know him, and then I started seeing on all his upper shelves in his office, he had all these herbs and homeopathic remedies. And I said to him, I started asking, what are these? And he smiled and goes, this is what we use before antibiotics. And so he started educating me about all of those. So that piqued my interest as well. But as far as the chiropractic goes and the hands-on, what happened was acupuncture was, to me, had because of my background in neurophysiology, it had the best scientific background where we could explain everything. And then once I opened my eyes to and my mind to acupuncture, then I got exposed to Chinese herbs and many different Chinese healing modalities and Qigong and things like that. Then what happened, interestingly enough, was, I mean, chiropractic was taboo. That word was like you're a quack. And then there was one veterinarian, Dr. Sharon Willoughby, who, after 11 years out in practice, she went back and went to human chiropractic school. And when she finished that, she started offering a little weekend workshop for vets and for chiropractors on chiropractic for animals. And then the Animal Medical Center heard about her and invited her to speak, like they did me years, you know, seven mm-hmm. years, 6 years earlier. And normally they have someone host you. No one wanted to host her there. So the head of Animal Medical Center called me up and said, hey, Alan, would you be open to hosting this vet, you know, who's also a chiropractor when she's here? And I went, oh, that'd be great, you know. So I gave her a call and said, I'm going to be your host. And I said, by any chance, do you have any time after the lecture, would you want to come up to my practice? And I would line up a bunch of horses and dogs and cats and see what you can do and how maybe acupuncture and chiropractic can work together, because no one had ever used acupuncture and chiropractic together before.
Oh,
and
so still not up. Necessarily something people think of together.
No. So she went and taught me one-on-one her approaches for 2 weeks, which was just fantastic. And then, and I was amazed how animals had been treating with acupuncture and they were doing well, but when they added the chiropractic, they did even better. So she and I talked, and at that time I was president of the International Veterinary Acupuncture Society, and she was lamenting how these weekend courses, then vets thought they were chiropractors and chiropractors thought they were vets. And I said, well, you need to have a certification course like what we have in acupuncture, you know, and get a full training. Well, a week later, she sent me the outline for it, and I said, oh, darn, that means I have to take it.
<You know? laughs>
And so anyway, I took it, and I was a second veterinarian to take that training, and that was the beginning of all the training programs for chiropractic in animals, and that was due to Sharon Willoughby. And we'd become friends for a long time until she passed away. And anyway, so once I started combining chiropractic and acupuncture on horses and dogs, my reputation just soared because animals were improving in one or two treatments, not having to wait six or eight treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And before I knew it, I couldn't keep up, and I ended up then selling my conventional veterinary practice. I had two animal hospitals, selling my part of that to my business partner, And at that point, then I finally said, okay, no one has ever just practiced just natural, holistic, integrative medicine on animals. That type of model didn't exist, you know?
Right.
And I was scared to death, but I felt like I had no choice. So I sold the practices, and I just said, okay, I'm limiting myself to just complementary therapies, acupuncture, herbs, nutrition, chiropractic, some homeopathy, you know, things like that. And I'll see if I can make a living. Because, again, that field, that did not exist. And before I knew it, I was so busy. And this is, you know, 15 years before the Qi Institute and things like that.
Right.
And before human acupuncture schools existed or anything. And next thing I knew, I was so busy, I had to hire another veterinarian that had done an internship with me, and then another and another, and it became the largest holistic integrative veterinary practice, referral practice, that anyone knew of, you know,
right.
and it was both equine and small animal, and I did it just referrals only. But then what happened was a lot of the clients started seeing how the animals were doing even better than with conventional medicine, and then they just wanted me to come to the barn, you know, or to the clinic, and, you know, I couldn't take on any more horse barns because I was so busy, and that's when I kept on hiring other associates. And on the small animal, I couldn't take on any more, so I took on more associates. And then at that point, my reputation was spreading, and I got asked to be a professor. I was an assistant clinical professor at Colorado State Veterinary School, as well as at Tufts Veterinary School. And I edited the first textbook on veterinary acupuncture, as well as the first textbook on complementary and alternative veterinary medicine, on all of those. And then I started to burn out from that.
Yeah, well, that's the trouble when you're a pioneer in a field. You have to really push your way forward. You have to do the books. You have to do the courses. And you have to get people interested. And you still have to practice. It's a lot.
Exactly. And then I was getting asked to teach all over the world. So every 2 weeks I was teaching on the weekends somewhere and seeing patients all during the week. And, you know, in the textbooks, they were the first. I knew that, okay, for a field to get accepted, there needs to be a textbook. And so my textbooks were the first ones introducing all of this as new fields. Yeah, it just kept on growing and blossoming from there. And then the American Veterinary Medical Association asked me to be on this committee to develop guidelines for alternative and complementary veterinary medicine. And then I was actually invited to be an endowed faculty full-time at Colorado Veterinary School, but I just couldn't do anymore, you know. I question whether I should have taken that full-time position. But, you know, again, I was doing everything everywhere. And, you know, with the book, my first book for the public, Love, Miracles, and Animal Healing, I asked Bernie Siegel if I could do that, and he said, yeah. And that became, you know, a top bestseller. And, you know, so my goal with that was to educate clients that there was a whole new way of veterinary medicine, of natural healing that could be done, but not putting down Western medicine, you know. And then my book, Kindred Spirits, How the Remarkable Bond Between Humans and Animals Can Change the Way We Live, that became, you know, in 2001, it was rated one of the most spiritual books by Spirituality and Health magazine, you know, where I was talking about the scientific basis of the human-animal bond based on all my stories from all my clients and the animals, and how animals can help change people's lives and vice versa.
So what have you seen in your years of practice that are the benefits of Chinese medicine and acupuncture and chiropractic for animals? What have you been able to treat that with conventional medicine you would have been just wringing your hands with frustration?
Oh, there's so much. you know, essentially my philosophy is no one form of medicine has all the answers. And if we're going to be doing the best that we can do to help animals heal, it seems like it would be wise to have the greatest variety of approaches to help. And so, you know, a large part of my clientele and patient load at first was mostly musculoskeletal arthritic dogs and cats, you know, hip dysplasia, back problems, paralysis, neurologic conditions that, again, didn't respond to conventional medicine, lots of gastrointestinal conditions, gastritis, equine colic that was not surgical, things like that, we were able to help. Essentially, it helps normalize gastrointestinal motility. So whether it's constipation or diarrhea, you can help with that. It helps balance the immune system. It helps relieve inflammation and pain associated with any type of arthritis. It helps stimulate microcirculation, increasing circulation, and it helps stimulate nerves. And that's why in certain issues with chronic back problems or paralysis, depending upon how severe it is, you can help bring the animals back. And some of the first cases that I ever did at the Animal Medical Center, those were the ones that made the skeptical veterinarians there open-minded, saying, oh my gosh, we recommended euthanasia, and now we referred it to Alan, and the animal's walking or running and living a good life, and we need to be more open to this.
Well, and if you can save an animal's life with alternative medicine or extend their life, that sure is something to be happy about. It's time for us to take a break and hear from our sponsors, but we'll be right back in a few minutes with more of our show.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi, and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, pure New Zealand deer antler velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy's sister, Sally Morgan. And I'm here with my guest, Dr. Alan Schoen. Alan, before the break, we were talking about the early developments in the fields of holistic medicine for animals. And I'd like you to tell me a little bit more about how you handled those skeptical veterinarians and indeed the skeptical clients as well.
Yeah, well, it was so interesting back then because, again, I was just very naive and idealistic and said, hey, these animals are improving. Why wouldn't we look at it? But many of the veterinarians, there were 80 veterinarians at the Animal Medical Center, they would just ignore me and look away or this or that. And then after I gave them a number of lectures, the head of Animal Medical Center said, okay, well, let's do a study. And what we'll do is, once we recommend euthanasia, that there's nothing more that the best animal hospital in the world could do with medicine or surgery, we'll refer them to you. And I naively, you know, I said, oh, sure, just as long as I accept, I only accept the ones that I think I can help, you know. And they went, yeah, okay, well, let's do that. So I thought, boy, that's a great control. Okay, because, you know, one of the criticisms about lots of complementary therapies is where are the control groups? You know, you're not doing double blind, you're not doing this and that.
Right.
So having it that, okay, they're all recommended for euthanasia, there's nothing more, and then you do acupuncture, and that's, at that point, that's all I was doing was just acupuncture. It was 1982. And they get better, you say, okay, you need to look at this, you know. So one by one, the different veterinarians and the specialists at Animal Medical Center and internal medicine and surgery were saying, well, okay, we're recommending euthanasia for this animal, but if you want, there's this vet here who's doing acupuncture. We don't know if it would help, but we can send you over there, you know. And the ones that I thought that I couldn't help, I wouldn't, you know, take on. But if I thought that there was a scientific basis for helping an animal, then I would say, okay, and I'd explain it to the clients. And the clients, you know, most of them were quite open simply. I mean, the ones that weren't open wouldn't come, you know, but the ones that were open because they wanted to give their animals a chance and they loved them so much. So it ended up, when I published on it, 78% of the animals that had been previously recommended for euthanasia improved dramatically, greater than 70% improvement. And that
I can't argue with that statistic.
Yeah, and that was with, you know, so they were able to live longer, happier, healthier, quality lives without pain and suffering. So then what happened, you know, the word spread, and I was blessed with a very educated New York clientele that just, the word spread, and before I knew it, I was so busy there, and like I said, and then I ended up selling my conventional animal hospital to focus just on all of this. And then once I added the chiropractic, then they improved even faster. When I started incorporating Chinese herbs, and back then there was no Qi Institute, no courses in Chinese herbs for veterinary medicine. It didn't exist, right? So I went to Columbia Medical School, the Human Medical School, and they were giving the first training on Chinese medicine, Chinese herbal medicine for doctors. And again, I called up and I said, hey, I'm a veterinarian, could I come? And they went, sure, you know, because again, there was such a small group of us. And so I took my Chinese herbal training for humans at Columbia Medical School and had to extrapolate over to the animals and figure it all out. There was no pre-organized courses or anything on that.
Well, and it's so, you know, Linda Tellington talks about being in that Feldenkrais class and within minutes saying, oh my gosh, I have to use this with animals. And here I was in my first craniosacral class for humans thinking, oh my God, this can change the lives of horses and dogs. And here you are sitting there with the Chinese herbs knowing the difference this can make. And it's such a lot of creative thinking, really, to transfer it from one species to the other, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now it's so easy for veterinarians because there are a number of different training programs in both acupuncture and herbs, and it's like, oh, you just take the training and you can do it. But, yeah, when I started, I was like, nothing existed, you know. And but when you started seeing one animal after another, and, you know, I always joke with my clients, I said, I don't do anything that hasn't been proven on people first, you know. And I said, okay, you know, it's working on the people. Let me try to extrapolate to the dogs and the cats and the horses. And they were getting better. You know, matter of fact, here it is 40 years later, and I'm retired from active veterinary practice, but I still get emails from clients saying, you know, you saved my dog with brain cancer, you know, 20 years ago, or you saved my dog with this cancer 20, 30 years ago, and now I have an older dog, can you help? And, you know, I tell them, you know, I'm retired, but I will sometimes help some of my older long-term clients just with sharing, not as a consult, but just, you know, advice saying, well, I found that this worked and this worked, and you might want to check with your veterinarian, you know, or a holistic veterinarian, you know.
And it's hard. It's hard to find someone who's well-versed in all the modalities. There are many vets that do acupuncture and many vets that do chiropractic, but to find that combination and with the experience and with adding in the Chinese herbs, I mean, I've seen animals' lives saved with those Chinese herbs. They're really powerful.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the last veterinarian that I mentored one-on-one that did an internship with me, you know, she's one that I refer my old horse clients to back in New York and Connecticut because she, you know, she was got the download, you know, the mind meld of me of 40 years of experience. And it's true, there's so many clients call, there's so many veterinarians out there, both in equine and small animal, who've just taken the training, but they don't have the experience of combining it all and 40 years of knowing where it can work and where it doesn't work. And I feel frustrated and saddened by that sometimes, too, and that's why I still teach and lecture periodically, trying to share that knowledge, you know, still.
Yeah, it's really important to be able to have the new vets have that opportunity to learn about holistic modalities. I still don't think most of them are taught in vet school anything about holistic work, are they?
No. I mean, it's nice to see that some veterinary schools have started with some introductory courses and stuff. And like when I was a professor at Colorado Vet School and Tufts Vet School, I would give lectures to the vet students as well as postgraduate veterinarians. And, you know, when at Cornell, I was giving the veterinary students for 6 years, I was giving them a little mini with 2-day training, intensive training on acupuncture, just to get them, you know, interested, you know, and realize, oh, this is something we should look at more, you know. And so here and there, and, you know, there are veterinarians at different veterinary schools now who do lecture on it to the vet students, but it's maybe an hour or 2 or 3 hours in their whole.
Yeah, at least they're getting exposure,
but
though.
At least, yeah, well, that's what I feel, is at least you're showing them, one, it's accepted enough that there are lectures in your curriculum, and that if you want more, there are lots of postgraduate programs, you know. And
right.
I'll still get invited different places to go and give introductory training programs, and I still love doing that, you know. I was giving one in Singapore and gave one in Japan and, you know, throughout the world in the last couple of years, and things like that I still love doing.
Alan, tell me, you've been doing this for so long, and, you know, one of the cornerstones of alternative and complementary medicine is that holistic approach, which gets back to that idea of self-healing and allowing the body to self-heal. Can you give me some examples of animals that you might remember seeing that self-healing mechanism in particular, prompted by the alternative modalities that you provided?
Well, I think all healing is self-healing. And I mean, that's a generalization, but if what we try to do is just help the body's innate immune system and innate healing abilities come back into balance, You know, so let's take say a dachshund with a slipped disc and a compressed vertebrae impinging on the spinal cord, okay, and they're unable to walk, and because it's multiple areas, they say, oh, this isn't really a surgical case, and you do acupuncture on it, and immediately starts relieving the spasms between the vertebrae,
right,
and increasing the microcirculation to the area, which then has all these different anti-inflammatory mediators in the blood, and you're increasing the oxygen and the nutrition to the area. So essentially, it's helping that area heal. And it's also stimulating the nerves, helping them regain function.
Right.
So that's probably a classic, you know. And
yeah, sadly, all too common. And then you can add in the chiropractic and the exercise and balance that you can now do with the dog because the acupuncture started the process of him being able to accept additional work.
Exactly, exactly. And a horse is probably the classic example is chronic back pain, you know. And when I do a holistic integrative evaluation, I look at the whole picture. I say, you know, not just say, oh, it's there's back pain, treat it. So where's it coming from? Okay, is it coming from lower leg lamenesses? Is it coming from the rider? Is it coming from the saddle? Is it coming from the training? Is it, you know, where is it coming from? And then once we can find that out and you try to decide is it primary or secondary to something else, and then you address the primary issues, and then you can use the acupuncture again to relieve the muscle spasms, increase the circulation back there, relieve the pain and the inflammation, and then they're pain-free and they can function, and then they can build the muscles up to hold the back, to make the back stronger. But again, that's a classic example of the holistic integrative approach. You may need to inject the hocks or inject the joint because that may be the primary cause. You may need to correct the shoeing. You may need to correct the saddle fit. You may need to work on the rider. You know, I would tell the riders, you may want to go see an appropriate healthcare practitioner to get yourself back into balance, you know?
Right. That makes such a difference.
Yeah, so it's really, you know, the holistic approach is looking at all the different possible causes and then looking at all the different approaches you can use, combining them appropriately to help the animal heal. You know, these days there are also, you know, other things that are starting to show up that we have to look at that Western medicine really isn't looking at much, like the impact of electromagnetic fields in, on our health, you know, and on the health of our animals, you know, and there's so many newer things. And then, you know, the challenges with different pesticides and different food additives and this and that and what that does to our GI microflora and to our overall health. So, again, it's looking at the whole bigger picture.
Right, and the whole system, you know, the system of the horse and rider and then the system of the horse and his environment.
Yeah, so that's where I still, you know, a lot of this isn't even considered veterinary medicine. It's just, you know, being an animal health coach and guiding people in the right direction to look at things, you know.
Well, it's time to take another break to hear from our sponsors. You are listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets with physical therapist for pets and people, Sally Morgan, on DreamVision7Radio.com. We'll be back with Dr. Alan Schoen in a few moments.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, SallyMorganPT.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi, and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pet's health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, pure New Zealand deer antler velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm holistic physical therapist and Dr. Judy's sister, Sally Morgan. And here we are with our guest, Dr. Alan Schoen, who's been telling us about the history of alternative medicine for animals. And one of Dr. Schoen's newer projects is something called Compassionate Care for Animals. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, well, you know, what I started finding after, you know, 35, 40 years of practice is that so much of veterinary medicine and so much of just the world is focused on finances and financial reward and this and that, and that the heart connection to our animals, which is the essence of the whole human-animal bond, was being ignored. And I, you know, just started asking everyone, you know, saying if we don't ask the right questions, you won't get the right answers. And that the question that we should always ask what is the most compassionate approach for this animal in this living, in this situation with this family, this, you know, that they live with. And if you start boiling everything down to what's the most compassionate choice, boy, you really get into your heart space, and then you say, okay, is this surgery or is this drug, what are the cost-benefit ratio, but also what is the risk-benefit ratio of these different things? And it makes you start looking at things differently. And then, you know, after 40 years, again, of practice and going in between different horse barns and animal hospitals and animal shelters, I started, you know, realizing that there's this feeling, you know, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. You go into one horse barn, I'm sure you've felt this too, Sally, is you go into one and you go, ugh, boy, no one's happy here. The horses have their ears back. There's, like, really heavy metal music. The grooms aren't happy. No one's happy. The And you go into another one, you go, oh, wow, I love coming to this barn, and everyone's happy, and the horses are happy and everything. And the same with going to different animal hospitals, and I started, right. And animal shelters, and I started saying, wow, okay, what's the difference here in these? And, you know, you talked about feelings, you know, and this and that, but everyone said, oh, that's a little woo-woo. But, you know, over the last 10 years, I've started presenting, and just in the last few years, my new theories on this, based on integrating the latest in neuroscience and quantum physics with the human-animal bond. And, you know, what I started putting together is realizing that based on the HeartMath Institute, where you could measure the electromagnetic fields coming off the heart when you're feeling love for others versus feeling fear, and the fear contracts the heart, decreases circulation, love increases circulation, and increases your electromagnetic field. And so I said, wow, so what's happening is if we're not conscious or aware, we create these trans-species fields that are, you know, if it's an unhappy horse barn or an unhappy animal hospital, the field is of competition, fear, this and that, versus where you go into another one and you're feeling love. The difference is this trans-species field, the interaction of the electromagnetic fields of each living being in there. Right. And so if we're not aware of that, the trans-species field can go either way, either angry, miserable, or very loving and happy. And then I said, wow, so what difference do we make in that? And then as I was continuing my studies in the latest in neuroscience and quantum physics, I realized, okay, so we can actually make a difference here by focusing on compassion for all beings, because the neuroscience lab at the University of Wisconsin, run by Dr. Richie Davidson, he did studies where they took freshman college students and they did MRIs on them the first week of freshman college. And most of us remember what that was like. And then they divided the group of college students into two different groups. One of them, they just let them be regular college students. The other group, they gave them training on focusing on compassion for all beings for just 10 minutes a day of focusing on that quiet, what I call quiet focused intention, because the word meditation has so many different misunderstandings about it. So I just call it quiet focused intention. And so anyway, what they did 2 weeks later, they repeated the MRIs, and the college students that they didn't do anything, their MRIs were the same. The ones that focused on compassion for 10 minutes a day for 2 weeks, it actually changed their brain. Areas in the prefrontal cortex for joy and happiness were lighting up. So it was like, aha, okay, what if we do this with all animal lovers? Okay,
right.
So what if we train people in the horse barn, the riders, the grooms, the trainers, to focus before they come to the clinic, to the barn, to focus on compassion for all beings for 10 minutes? What if we take this to animal shelters and animal hospitals and we say, okay, before everyone starts, any staff member starts, sit there and just focus on compassion for all beings for 10 minutes and see what happens. And so I started suggesting that at different animal hospitals, animal shelters, and horse barns. And sure enough, the ones that really committed to that, within a few weeks, they were saying how everyone in the barn or the hospital or clinic was so much happier, and that the animals were happier because they're being treated differently and they also feel that energy.
Well, and they're healthier, too, when everybody is calmer and more in their heart space when they're with them.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, I talked to the founders of the HeartMath Institute and said, you know, have you done any studies like this on horses or dogs? And they laughed. They said, well, we're just thinking of it. And since then, they've done studies showing that this is indeed true, that the interaction of the electromagnetic fields coming off of our hearts from dogs and horses do impact on each other. So then I said, okay, like I said in the back of my book, The Compassion Equestrian, and what I'm doing with the small animal version of it is, if the way you treated your horse, or you were with your horse, or the way you are with your dog or cat could change the world, would you do it? And everyone goes, well, of course. And what's neat is, okay, it starts with you being a certain way, focusing on compassion for all beings for 10 minutes a day, doing that, and then doing that with your own animals, and then and your own family, and then the clinic or the barn or the shelter, wherever you're working or being, and then extend it out to everyone you meet that day. And, you know, to the cashier at the supermarket, to, you know, everyone, anyone you meet, and then we can change the world.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
I guess that's my bigger picture of where holistic medicine, veterinary medicine can go. We actually have the ability to be healers of the world in this crazy, wild world that's happening right now. We, as veterinarians, as animal health care practitioners, we have that ability through bringing the latest neuroscience and quantum physics through the compassionate field theory to help be healers of the world. And that's my bigger, greater vision.
That brings us to my next question, which is, what do you see as the future of holistic veterinary care? Like, where do you see that headed in the next 20 years?
Well, it's funny because I've been lecturing on that around the world recently. And, you know, my vision is, I think all of these different modalities, complementary therapies from acupuncture, herbs, nutrition, chiropractic, supplements, things like that, they are being integrated more and more into conventional medicine. And I see that they will continue to be integrated more and more into conventional medicine. And that what will happen is, and what's happening already, but I'll just see it more and more, is that almost every veterinary specialty center will have someone like that on staff. And I predicted that, you know, 30 years ago, and everyone laughed, but now so many of the different veterinary referral centers have someone doing the different complementary therapies, well as, you know, my initial model being the first one to have an integrative holistic practice, that now that's an accepted practice, and, you know, your sister's doing that, and, you know, that's an accepted type of practice now, which it wasn't. I think those will continue to flourish more and more. I foresee at some time even having little shopping centers where you would have natural veterinary clinics and human health care practitioners and nutrition supplements and all of that, and where people can go and get all of that all at once in one spot and get a support system for themselves.
Boy, that would be great, because then I would be one of those practitioners there seeing people and their dogs and not having, you know, I do that in my own practice here, but to be in a center with other people where someone else could see the person while I'm seeing the dog, or vice versa, that would be really fun.
Yeah, I see that. You know, when I lectured on that in Australia in 2017, it was fascinating because there were vets. It was like a full circle for me, where I had brought veterinary acupuncture, the acceptance of scientific veterinary acupuncture, to Australia in the 1990, and then they, you know, I was teaching there regularly over the years, and then they invited me back in 2017 to be the keynote speaker on, you know, the whole future of veterinary medicine, you know, and of holistic veterinary medicine. And in that, you know, another part of it that I should mention that needs to be integrated more and more, and I see it, is the use of low-level laser therapy, you know.
Oh, yeah, and very important. And, you know, veterinary care is way ahead using that in human medicine. We're not using it that much, and they've demonstrated in some tests that It could replace every single thing a physical therapist uses in their practice instead of E-stim or ultrasound, just using laser. And there's so much resistance in the human field.
Yeah, and, you know, there are many different types. You know, when I lecture on low-level laser therapy or photon biophotonic modulation, it's, you know, there's class 1 and class 4, and class 4 is what's normally used, and there can be quite dangerous. And the class 1, which multi-radiance medical, to me, makes probably the best one to active that, and then they have now a system called the PET laser rental program where they have even safer lasers that you can rent out to clients so that they can use them at home. And those things, I think, will also be just increasing in popularity because it helps, you know, the animals that can't get to the animal hospital, cats that are afraid of animal hospitals. When you can do that at home, it's an immense benefit.
Oh, yeah, and during hospice care, that would be really profound.
Yep. Yeah.
So, Alan, tell us where we can get a hold of you. Where are your books available, and what's your website?
Yeah, well, my books, I think they're available on Amazon as well as, you know, different bookstores. And my website is, oddly enough, drschoen.com, drschoen.com. And, yeah, people can reach me through there.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure. Until next week, thanks for listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets today with your host, Sally Morgan, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy's sister with my guest today, Dr. Alan Schoen. And we are here each week on DreamVision7Radio.com.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.